Thereafter.
May my
Matunam,
Mother,
Rishi,
the great Saint
Narada Rishi,
Samaniya,
bringing
Nija
Ashrame
to his own ashram,
Ashvasya,
giving
her assurance,
Iha,
here.
Ushitam,
stay.
Vatse,
my dear child.
Yavat,
until.
Volume
keeps increasing somehow.
Te,
your.
Vartu,
of the husband.
Agamaha,
the coming.
Translation,
Prahlad Maharaj continued,
the great saint
Narada Muni
brought my mother
to his ashram
and assured her of all
protection, saying,
my dear
child,
please
remain at my
ashram
until the
arrival
of your husband.
So you can repeat,
Prahlad Maharaj
continued,
the great saint
Narada Muni
brought my mother
to
his ashram
and
assured her
of all protection,
saying,
my dear child,
please
remain at my ashram
until the
arrival of your
husband.
So
there's no
purport to this
text or the next
two texts,
and then we'll go on.
Actually,
the next one text,
and then we'll go on
to text 14
in a second.
So we'll just read
text 13.
Tatetya
vasya
devarsher
antake
sakuto
vaya
yavadaitya
patir
gorat
tapasonanya
vartata.
After
accepting the
instructions of
Devarshi
Narada,
my mother
stayed in his care
without fear from
any direction
as long as
my father,
the king of
the daichas,
had not
become free
from the severe
austerities.
Text 14.
Rishim
paryacha
ratatra
macha
paramayasati
antarvatni
swagarvasya
shimayicha
vasutaye.
My mother,
being pregnant,
desired the
safety of her embryo
and desired to give
birth after her
husband's arrival.
Thus she
stayed at Narada Muni's
ashram,
where she
rendered service unto
Narada Muni
with great
devotion.
So
purport by His Divine
Grace,
A.C. Bhaktivedanta
Swami,
Srila Prabhupada,
Srila Prabhupada,
Ki Jai.
It
is stated in the Srimad
Bhagavatam in the
9th
canto,
19th chapter,
text 17,
Matra
Swasra Duhitrava,
Naivi
Vika
Sano
Bhavet,
Valavanandri
Gramo,
Vidvam
Sam
Api
Karshati.
One
should not
remain in a
secluded place
with a woman,
even
one's mother,
sister,
or daughter.
Nonetheless,
although one is
strictly prohibited from
staying with a woman
in a secluded place,
Narada Muni
gave shelter to
Prahlad Maharaj's
young mother,
who rendered
service to him
with great devotion
and faith.
Does this mean
that Narada Muni
transgressed
the Vedic
injunctions?
Certainly
he did not.
Such
injunctions are
intended for mundane
creatures.
But
Narada Muni
is transcendental
to mundane
categories.
Narada Muni
is a great saint
and is transcendentally
situated.
Therefore,
although he was a
young man,
he could give
shelter to a
young woman
and accept her
service.
Kadidas
Thakur also
spoke with a
young woman, a
prostitute,
in the dead of night,
but
the woman
could not
deviate his
mind.
Instead,
she became a
Vaishnavi,
a
pure devotee
by the
benediction of
Haridas
Thakur.
Ordinary
persons,
however,
should not imitate
such highly
elevated devotees.
Ordinary
persons
must strictly
observe
the rules
and regulations
by staying
aloof from the
association of women.
No one
should imitate
Narada Muni
or Haridas
Thakur.
It
is said, Vaishnavera
Kriyamudra
Vigena
Bujhaya.
Even
if a man is very
advanced in learning,
he cannot
understand the
behavior of a
Vaishnava.
anyone can take shelter of a pure Vaishnava without fear. Therefore, in the previous verse, it has been distinctly said, Devarshir Antike Sakuto Vaya. Kayadu, the mother of Prahlad Maharaj, stayed under the protection of Narada Muni without fear from any direction. Similarly, Narada Muni, in his transcendental position, stayed with a young woman without any fear of deviation. Narada Muni, Haridas Thakur, and similar acharyas, especially empowered to broadcast the glories of the Lord, cannot be brought down to the material platform. Therefore, one is strictly forbidden to think that the acharya is an ordinary human being. There's no image. Is there the image of the altar or what? The curtains, yeah. Really, maybe I was invisible yesterday. So, I mean, I can't do anything now about it. Okay. At least they can hear. The other sound. So I'll talk to Jagat. He was busy with the feast yesterday, so he didn't have time to correct it. So it's a question of the timing of the camera, actually. So, Omagana Timidanda Shah Gananjana Shlakaya Chakshura Meditam Yenatasmai Shigurave Namaha. So there are several points here, important points here. One is Narada Muni's ashram is situated not in the material world, but Narada Muni's ashram is situated in Braj, right next to Govardhan Hill. So in one sense, you know, you can get there if you're in the material world, but in another sense, it's actually not in the material world. Because we understand that Narada Muni had been cursed. He couldn't remain in one place, so how could he have an ashram? He was cursed by Daksha because he had convinced two groups of Daksha's sons, the Haryashvas and Sabalashvas, to renounce this material world, much to the chagrin of Daksha. And then Daksha cursed them. You should not remain in any place. So when Narada Muni came to see Krishna, there's a whole story in the Govardhan, that he came to see Krishna dancing his rasa dance. He was prohibited from doing that by Lord Shiva because Narada Muni had a male form. And then Narada had to transform his form into the lady Naradi in order to be able to see the rasa dance. And then when Krishna spied him, Krishna said to him, Narada Muni, what are you doing here? And he said, I want to see your rasa dance. And Krishna said, well, I got a different service for you. I want you to compose the Narada Bhakti Sutras and the Narada Pancharatra right here. And Narada Muni said, I can't do that because I have to travel. And Krishna said, the curses don't apply in the Holy Dham. Nice, isn't it? So even Vastu doesn't apply in the Holy Dham or curses or any problems like that. Of course, there is a layer, a veneer of yoga maya that prevents us from actually seeing the true form of the Holy Dham. So anyway, so this is where this pastime took place, where he was able to instruct Kayadu and Prahlad Maharaj was within her womb. Somehow or other, this has to be rectified, this microphone system. I'll talk to Jagat today about it. Anyway, so another point here, which I found quite interesting, that in the first verse, Prahlad Maharaj refers to Kayadu as my dear child. I thought that was quite interesting because generally we hear in the ISKCON movement that Hare Krishna, we hear Hare Krishna, but we hear in the ISKCON movement that that you should refer or think of every woman who's not your wife as mother, right? That's the injunction. But here he's saying, my child. And I think this is actually a practical application of a particular injunction, understanding the purpose of the injunction. Sometimes people take a particular injunction and apply it ritualistically without understanding the purpose. I mean, for example, If someone is very much older and has the paternal relationship with someone, let's say the spiritual master and disciple, and the spiritual master happens to be 66 years old, and can you hear it downstairs or no?
Yeah, but it's too loud.
Well, it's too loud and then it's too soft. Whatever it is, it's saturated with love of God. Anyway, so, and the spiritual master, let's say 66 or something, because that's my age, and this disciple happens to be 25, it's really hard to say, or even think of the disciple as mother, right? I mean, at least I have trouble doing that. 15-year-old. Yeah, 15-year-old kid, you know, or what would speak of a 12-year-old, you know? Oh, mother, you know, whatever. And it's just, it's weird, actually. And sometimes when we're preaching, if we refer to people, let's say, you know, we're doing some Krishna West program or something, like last night we were in a Krishna West program, and we refer to some of the ladies as mother, I think it would be a big insult, wouldn't it? If you say, you know, some college student, oh, mother, can you come here? Or even trying to think of her as mother, it's just so weird, I can't do it. I mean, I have to be honest about that. So therefore, we understand the purpose of seeing every woman as your mother is to establish a particular relationship that's not based on lust. In other words, there's a purpose behind the injunction. I mean, many times we have these injunctions and people apply them ritualistically, not understanding the purpose behind them, and therefore they run counter to that purpose by doing so. So therefore, you know, when I see a young lady, I think of her like, you know, daughter or servant of Krishna. You know, there's different things we can think of. It's not that I think of every young lady as a daughter. That would be kind of weird too. But I just see, you know, part and parcel of Krishna. So there's different ways that someone can see someone of the opposite sex that are not based on lust. The principle is to see and address someone in such a way that it's not based on a lusty relationship. Does everyone understand that point? So I thought it was quite interesting. I thought it was quite interesting. He said, my dear child, instead of my mother. So that struck me. Yes, yeah, there's a young woman. He's not going to say mother, you know. He's going to protect her. I mean, even Prabhupada in some of his letters in the early days referred to the ladies in the temple as gopis. He wrote a letter to Sasrumarj and says, how are the gopis doing? So he, of course, he wasn't thinking that they're all like on the platform Madhurya Ras, but he was seeing them as servants, maidservants of Krishna. So that's another way. It's just a question of seeing people in a certain way so that we don't exploit them. It's not only between men and women, it's actually between even men and men, and we're not talking about a sexual thing. Generally, we try to exploit people in this world by seeing them in a particular way. Like, for example, even a spiritual master will see a disciple as his servant, but that's improper. That's a lusty relationship. If you see, he is my servant, that means you're trying to exploit him. If you see him as a devotee of Krishna, you're trying to engage in devotional service. That's the proper mentality to have. So the whole idea is when we interact with other living entities, we should not see them in such a way that it inculcates a mood of exploitation in our minds. Even if we see an animal or whatever, we should see them all as part and parcel of Krishna. That's Krishna consciousness. And then, you know, we may impose some material distinctions just so that we don't exploit them, like, you know, daughter or servant of Krishna. That's not a material distinction. Or father or something like that. So we don't engage in an exploitative relationship. The whole point is don't exploit and don't see someone as an object of your sense gratification. Okay, I thought that was an important point. So the points Prabhupada's making in the final purport here of text 14 are also important, are very important actually. And Prabhupada quotes a verse here that from 9:19-17 that one should not remain in a secluded place with his mother or daughter, etc., like that. Why is that? Balavan injur gramo vidvamsham apikarshati, because the senses are so strong So we see in many cases that even spiritualists who are advanced can succumb to illusion if they're put in contact with their sense objects. And it's not only a woman, but it may be a sense. We all have our particular sense objects that we're attracted to. Maybe food, for example. But there's stories in the Chaitanya Charitamrita about one devotee, Kala Krishnadas, who was obviously an advanced devotee because he had the association of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In fact, he was Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's personal assistant when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was touring South India. I mean, that's a pretty exalted position. I mean, much more exalted than my position or whatever. To actually be personally cooking for Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, carrying his water pot, and serving him every day, you're in touch with the Lord. So, all right, so what happened is that as he was serving Lord Chaitanya, I guess he went out to get some roots or something for Lord Chaitanya, he ran into these gypsies. And in India, the gypsies are called, at least this particular group of gypsies, is called the Bataharis. The story is in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And these gypsies have the methodology. Actually, it's something like there was one group in the 1960s, the Children of God, who used the same technique, isn't it? And they used to tell their followers, you'd be prostitutes for Jesus. Do you remember that group? And they would have girls go out and actually lure men into their society. Hellish, isn't it? Just remember that group. And so these Bataharis used the same technique. They had the women in their group. They would go out and I guess they would just like somehow or other attract innocent people or not so innocent people and bring them into their group. And so that's what they did with Lord Chaitanya's servant, Kala Krishnadas. They brought him into their group. And of course, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, being very merciful, he saved Kala Krishnadas. What he did is he went to the gypsy camp and he said, you have taken my servant, so give him back. And then the gypsies, the Bataharis, started to attack him with these swords, upraised swords and things like that. And of course, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu doesn't need a bodyguard. He can take care of himself. So their own upraised swords turned on the Bataharis and started to cut the Bataharis to pieces. And then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu dragged his servant out of that situation and saved him. Later on, when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was going to Vrindavan, he didn't take that same servant with him. He said, I want some new man who is sense-controlled so he doesn't get disturbed, because Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had that particular experience. So you see someone who is an extremely advanced association, extremely advanced person, can actually succumb to that allurement. So it's a very important principle in our Krishna consciousness movement to avoid circumstances that may arise or give some temptation to someone. So I've definitely observed that myself in my own life, that whenever I meet with a lady, it has to be at least, there's a rule of twos. And even in our movement in regard to children, there's also a rule of twos, that if you're not the parent of a particular child and you're meeting with a child alone, there should be actually two people there at the same time. And that's one of the things established by our child protection organization in ISKCON. Anyway, so we have to be extremely careful. However, if one is a pure devotee, and one should not think he's a pure devotee, but let's say there are certain circumstances, such as Narada Muni's circumstance, and the story in the Chaitanya Charitamrita of Ramananda Roy is quite instructive in that regard too. That Ramananda Roy was, of course, he is Vishakha, sometimes considered to be Arjuna, an incarnation of Arjuna, an incarnation of Vishakha. So Ramananda Roy was engaged in very intimate service with women, even though he had a male body. There's that story told in the Chaitanya Charitamrita about once upon a time, this devotee Prajuna Mishra went to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he said to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, I would like to hear about the same topics that you and Ramananda Roy discussed in Vijayanagar. Vijayanagar is on the banks of the Godavari River. And that's when Lord Chaitanya was going on his South Indian tour. He, at the behest of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he came across Ramananda Roy on the banks of the Godavari, and there's that whole story how they embraced. And then they discussed the most intimate topics imaginable. And Lord Chaitanya, at that particular juncture, acted as a student, and Ramananda Roy acted as the professor. That whole portion of the discussion is called the Ramananda Samvada. It's very interesting. That means Ramananda's instructions. And one of my godbrothers, Nrisinga Maharaj, published a little booklet on that. I don't know if you've seen that booklet. Ramananda Samvada. You can pick it up on his website if you want. And it may be integrated into the database. So anyway, so they had that discussion, and Lord Chaitanya asked various questions, please give me the highest truth. And Ramananda Roy went gradually from Varnashram up to the relationship of Radha and Krishna and also the feelings of separation, Vipralamba Seva. So Prajuta Mishra, he wanted to hear about those things. And he asked Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, I don't know much about those things, so you should talk to Ramananda Roy. So Prajuna Mishra went to Ramananda Roy's house, and Ramananda Roy at that time was engaged in teaching the Devidasis, that means the young, beautiful girls, how to dance before Lord Jagannath. Nowadays, of course, if someone's called a Devidasi, it means a prostitute. But in those days, the young girls would dance before the deities, and no one else would be watching them except for, I guess, some other ladies or mature people. It wouldn't be like a whole crowd watching a Bart Nacham dance. It would be for the pleasure of the deities. They would dance for the pleasure of the deities. So Ramananda Roy, in doing so, would not only teach them how to dance, but he would decorate their bodies and rub their bodies with oil and cleanse them. And that's unimaginable for a person in a male body. It's just unimaginable to do such a thing. And so when Prajuna Mishra heard this, he didn't see Ramananda Roy that first time, except when Ramananda Roy came back at the last minute. Then he just was a little incredulous about the whole thing, and then he went back to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked him, have you heard about the topics from Ramananda Roy? And Prajuna Mishra related what he had heard Ramananda Roy was doing. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, this is the prerogative only of Ramananda Roy. He said, I'm trying to remember the exact quote. He said, I think of myself as a very advanced sannyasi or renunciate. But even if, he said, if I see the wooden form of a woman somehow, or there's changes in the mind and body. Of course, that's not true with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because he had a completely spiritual body. I mean, he's God, so he's not really. Just like Krishna, even though he danced this rasa dance with the most beautiful girls imaginable, he's considered to be a brahmachari, because he didn't feel any agitation. Krishna, there was that story in Braj story where the gopis were able to cross the Jamuna River to see Durvasa saying that Krishna is a brahmachari. You know, and they were shocked. How is Krishna a brahmachari? He's dancing with us every night. And the explanation was he didn't feel any material attraction, so he's a real brahmachari. Because a brahmachari means, basically the word means one who is absorbed in Brahman. You know, one is on the spiritual platform and has no material engagement or no material attraction. So anyway, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, acting the part of a sannyasi in this world, said, you know, even I get attracted, but Ramananda Roy, he can do these things. And then Lord Chaitanya explained that it was due to Ramananda Roy completely identify himself with his spiritual identity. And that's also a hint for us, that if we want to overcome attraction to this world, I was talking to some people last night about that, not about Ramananda Roy, obviously, But I was talking about how to overcome the dualities of this material world. And I said, you identify with your spiritual identity, your relationship to Krishna. Of course, you're still aware of what's happening with the body. It's not that, you know, you become completely, unaware. And the Bhagavad Gita actually describes this, why the self-realized soul, while sitting down, rising up, you know, evacuating, etc., he knows that he's not doing anything. In other words, he's aware that it's happening. It's not that all these things, he just puts the body on automatic pilot, like in some airplane, you know, the pilot puts it, just like they had a crash recently because the automatic pilot didn't work, and they took it out of the automatic pilot and they weren't able to recover from a stall. So it's not like that exactly. He directs the body, but because he understands his real identity is something different, he's not disturbed by the pleasures and pains of the body. So similarly with Ramananda Roy, of course Ramananda Roy's body was spiritual, but he was acting in a certain way that, you know, may have appeared to certain people that he had a physical body. So Lord Chaitanya described he was completely immersed in his spiritual identity, and that spiritual identity, of course, was a maidservant of Krishna. So in other words, female, like that. And so he was able to deal with the young girl. So then Prajuna Mishra went back to Ramananda Roy, and he was able to hear from Ramananda Roy all these intimate discussions that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Ramananda Roy had. So this is a very exalted position, and we should not imitate this. We should be humble enough, not humble enough, we should be cultivate humility and think of ourselves, even if we are in an exalted position, we should think of ourselves as very vulnerable to the attractions of this material world. And it is a fact. I mean, there's so many things, and not just the women, man thing. I mean, that's a typical thing the devotees talk about. But there's so many things that appeal to us in this world that stimulate our particular desires. And that's why we should avoid interacting insofar as possible with non-devotees, with the material world, because, I mean, even looking at some advertisement, I was just hearing something funny the other day. Like, this is Burjan's book. That, such a funny story. That Burjan had just read in Prabhupada's books that women like to have gold earrings. So he bought his wife a set of gold earrings. It's a funny story. And then he went to Prabhupada and he bragged. He said, yes, I followed your instructions, Prabhupada. I brought my wife some gold earrings. So Prabhupada said something very funny in response. He said, Jagatarini, who was Burjan's wife, is not interested in those things. So he was just sort of smashing Burjan for thinking that. But Jagatarini was thinking in her mind, but I am interested in those things. As Prabhupada said it. It's funny, isn't it? Anyway, so, you know, there's many things that attract us. I mean, like, for ladies, it may be gold earrings or something. I'm not saying ladies shouldn't have gold earrings, but this things, or shopping, you know, just like now recently we had Black Friday and Black Saturday, whatever. Cyber Monday and everything like that. And then just people go wild. Because it's, and they buy things that they don't need because they're on sale. I mean, it's wild. So we have to be careful about succumbing to these different attractions. You know, people have different, as they say, Baskin-Robbins ice cream, you know, it's how many different flavors? 31 different flavors. So there's millions of different flavors of Maya that attract all of us. And so we have to be very, very careful ourselves in dealing with the things that attract us, or things that could potentially attract us if we contemplate them. So it's not just, you know, I just don't want to stick with the man-woman thing. It's just, you know, just like I may look at some, like, fancy computer or something like that, And, you know, Jayato Vishakpum Sam Sangos Teshu Bajayate Sangatsan Jayate Kama Kama Krod Bajayate. That may apply to my looking at a computer or a new iPhone or something, because I don't like iPhones anymore. So just be very careful in this material world and be like the tortoise, which Krishna describes in the Gita. You know, keep your senses inside, except when you're engaged in Krishna's service. Don't become complacent in dealing with Krishna's material energy. So, anyway, we'll end a little early. So, any questions? Yeah.
What was the meeting last night with Krishna West?
It was nice. The meeting last night with Krishna West was nice. I mean, I don't think it's required I go all the time because it's a different type of cultivation. It's not exactly giving a class or anything like that. It's more or less making friends, sitting around in a circle and having candles in the middle and chanting. You know, we chant a japa. Oh, yeah, of course, a lot of chanting. We chanted one japa, one round together, really slowly.
Did you speak at all?
Yeah. Yeah, you spoke a little bit from the Bhagavad Gita, Teshim Satati Yuktanam Bhajatam Priti Purvakam. And then we take questions, and people had questions about Brahma and Paramatma, and the, of course, Bhagavan after that, and then the Atma's relationship with Paramatma. So, you know, questions back and forth. But it's mostly a cultivation, friendship type of thing. You know, it's all Krishna conscious. I mean, there's prasadam, we were sitting around talking about Krishna during prasadam. But it's mostly making friends with people. You know, if I went every time, it would... they wouldn't necessarily have the right, let's say, I don't want to say respect, but, you know, attitude. So I think it's going to go sometimes, but every time I think might be counterproductive at that point. And also it's late at night. You know, I got out early, 10 o'clock, but they go until God knows what hour in the morning sometimes. But it was nice. I mean, I could see it's basically making friendship with people, integrating them.